Now I'll just step out of the way so you can get your soapbox and put it in place.
Hold on. Let me get it. Look at him.
We're time for David's rant.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims from HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me today is my co-host, Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. How is it going today, Donna?
I am doing well, David. Thanks for asking.
Very good. Very good. How are very you? Very good. Very good. I'm doing good. Doing good. It's been a frustrating week, but knowing that I can end up doing a podcast with you on Friday is just, man, I just can't put words to it.
There's some awesomeness to it. Yes. You're my work husband, they say. Everybody's calling you now.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, kind of my release. It gives me an opportunity to sit down and just kind of let you do all the work and me make all the jokes.
Yeah.
So, in today's podcast, we're going to talk about the female body inspector. I mean, I'm sorry, the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I knew you'd do it. Okay.
Yeah, I know. So Forbes, the magazine, put out this great article about some things around cybersecurity and what the FBI says about it. And so we figured we'd dive into that a little bit and talk about some things around cybersecurity and problems that are happening in the industry, and then talk about seven ways or seven tips that we can throw out there to help people hopefully avoid those cyber attacks.
Yeah, so this article was November 30th is when it came out, and I really liked the article and made a note for us to talk about it. And they interviewed Jay Kramer, Supervisory Special Agent of the FBI Cyber Division, New York office. So you know they always have a big long title.
Yeah.
But they were interviewed in Forbes magazine, and they were talking about two important things for us is understanding the types of cyber attacks that are occurring. And this is for all businesses. You know, this episode really covers all businesses, not just HIPAA. But HIPAA applies. If you're doing HIPAA, you're solving a lot of these problems, or at least some of the tips. So first, we want to talk about the types of cyber attacks that FBI says they're dealing with from an investigation and enforcement and prevention standpoint. And then we're going to talk about the seven tips that they say you should do to prepare your firm for a cyber attack. They don't say to prevent it. Again, it's not if.
It's when.
So, the types of cyber attacks. Yeah, since I do all the work, why don't you try this one?
You're doing great. So, the first one would be hacktivist, which I've not been a victim of. But I think it's very interesting what they do.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a lot of people kind of blow that off and say, well, you know, I'm never going to be the victim of one of those. And what you have to realize, though, is all you have to do is be associated with someone that's a victim, and then you could become the gateway. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen it. I've told you to watch it. I'm sure you haven't. There's a show.
I'm a busy boy. Come on.
There's a show called Mr. Robot. And a friend of mine said, you got to watch it. And I think I've talked about it before, but it's addictive. And I sent a message and I said, I both love you and hate you for sharing this show with me, because it will absolutely creep you out about the ways that this hacker is able to break into everybody's business. And I mean, just simple, it's not real complex, high-end stuff that they're able to break into most people. So if I need a gateway to be able to fish or spearfish to get into, say, the CEO of a company, I'm going to check out who they associate with. And then based on who they associate with, then I'm going to try to find that way in. And the hacktivist then could be looking for a gateway. So let's say that there is a patient at your primary care practice who is an attorney, and they take on a case that some group of hacktivists decide they don't like, or they don't like the statements they've made. And they then use somehow the They want to get to the medical information you have on file so they can use it against the lawyer to shut them down or make their lives miserable. And there you go. You are now going to be part of a hacktivist plot.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, that might be happening to you because you just talk to anybody.
Yeah. Well, you can't hack people to just give you stuff.
So, but hacktivism is becoming a big issue, and people don't realize these people that you don't even notice because, you know, they're just working on the computer or they don't say much or they're sitting in the coffee shop. You don't realize you are a valuable asset to someone. I don't care who you are. Someone can find you being a valuable asset. So,
mm-hmm. Have you seen that commercial with a guy sitting in the actually, there's several people sitting in a coffee shop or whatever, and a lady walks in, I guess with her phone out or something like that, and he's obviously trying to hack people, and he's singing the song, Getting to Know You, Getting to Know All About You.
Yeah, yeah, I like that one. you know, we got to approach it with humor.
Yeah. So the next one is foreign governments for terrorism or to gain a competitive advantage.
Yeah, and it's very similar to hacktivists. There's a way that you could be used. You know, if your company is involved in testing or treatment of somebody that's a political individual or somebody that can be an asset, and you never know. I mean, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And because we're a fully interconnected world now. So used to, you know, you'd see those spy shows where they had to, you know, fly from one place to another to be able to securely tell somebody something. And they still do that a great deal. But there's a lot of ways they message each other, which is kind of interesting.
Right. And the next one is criminal enterprises. And that would be, it's like, you know, the mob used to do, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in a little bit, but, you know, whenever they would approach a business owner, they would threaten to, you know, tear up their business or hurt them or whatever. But now that, you know, they just do stuff through the internet, mm-hmm. or, you know, they break into your business and steal your data or encrypt your data and hold it hostage. So it's a completely different criminal enterprise out there now than what it used to be.
Oh, yeah. If you ever watched The Sopranos, you know, and Tony's office was, you know, what it was, like a butcher shop. It was back in nowhere. There was not a computer in sight. And today, everybody would be on a computer. And you see the cases where they do money laundering and all kinds of things using even gamers. They put gamers in to buy into games and, you know, then win these tournaments and the money's being laundered so quickly. So the new shakedown is I have control of your data and you're going to pay me protection. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have Guido out front anymore. So, yeah, that's stereotypical Sopranos kind of thing. But certainly that vision, the stereotypical vision, is what people see when they think about the mob. But a lot of their criminal enterprises, now they can do by saying, I own you. I own mm-hmm. your data. I know what it is about you, and you're going to do whatever I want you to do.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, local people or even, you know, people in the same nation. It's all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly you could be hacked by the mob in, I don't know, Japan. There's a Japanese mob and criminal enterprises and stuff. So
yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if you got a business and somebody hacks and takes your, let's say they lock all your data down. I mean, unless you've got a proper backup solution, and we can talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
But unless you got a proper backup solution, and your options are to pay the ransom and see if they even give you your data back or not.
Right.
And, you know, both ways have bad things that will happen. I mean, you pay it, that means you're supporting, you know, the terrorism or the criminal enterprise. Mm-hmm. If you don't pay it, there's a high likelihood you may not be able to stay in business.
Yeah.
So it's a tough place to put yourself. And that's why having a proper backup is highly important.
Yeah, we'll get into that detail down in the tips section.
Yeah. So the next one is bad actors and fraudsters. And we're not talking about Keanu Reeves and but people, you know, people who'll steal your identity and mess with your credit or, you know, wipe out your bank account if you have one.
Yeah. Those are the ones that, you know, the identity thieves. That's a whole new world that didn't really exist before. That's now, you know, everybody's kind of used to it being part of the news.
Mm-hmm. And people think that, well, you know, nobody's going to get anything from me. I don't, you know, I don't have anything, or, you know, I got 10 bucks in my checking account, so I don't care. But it's not what you have. It's what you can potentially get.
Right.
And that's where they use your identity.
Oh, yeah. I have 10 bucks in my checking account. Yeah. And you have a $30,000 car that you didn't even know you had.
Yeah. You sure do.
Yeah, because I made a fake checking account and put some money in it and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So that's a huge enterprise right there. And a big part of the cyber attacks are just to do that. And all of the data that's been grabbed isn't even being used yet. So that's just going to trickle out over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And then lastly, we're going to talk about industrial espionage.
Dum, da, dum, dum.
I know that sounds like something for a good show.
Yeah. Yeah, you just like saying espionage.
Industrial espionage.
Yeah. It's like when you get to say propagate.
Propagate. I love using that term when I email you about something.
No. There you go again.
So with that, they're looking for a competitive advantage over somebody else in their industry or a competitor or something like that.
Well, yeah, that goes back to, you know, do you utilize, are you a beta tester of some big new software or a new device? Do you do research for anything or participate in any research? Are you, well, and, you know, we talk about one of the things that I use as an example is, you know, back in the days when before they had announced that Steve Jobs had cancer, there were speculation forums all over the place of whether or not something was wrong with him because he suddenly became so thin and frail. And, you know, it was obvious that something was wrong. Now, if you were one of those kinds of industrial espionage people using that information and you broke into his medical records and you were able to see that he really was ill, then you could have used that for stock price controls and short selling and all that kind of stuff. You could definitely use it as a competitive advantage saying, hey, Apple's about to go through some trouble, so let's find a way to up our ante against them. So there's a lot that matters in healthcare when you look at all of these types of attacks. It could happen. And again, you don't plan. Everybody's like, but yeah, it could, but it's not gonna. Your plans aren't for everything to go right. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't plan for everything to go right. I have insurance on my house, insurance on my car, health insurance. You know, Lord knows I've got liability insurance. You never know when somebody's going to take what you say the wrong way. Like you do, David. You turn it into something filthy.
What are you talking about?
What you talking about?
What are you talking about, Willis?
Yeah.
So let's talk about some tips. So tip number one. So we have seven of them we'll go through.
Yeah,
so,
these are the tips that the Jay Kramer from the FBI, the SSA, FBI Cyber Division, New York office gave in his interview to Forbes magazine. And what's interesting is when you go through these tips, you and I should be able to relate it directly to HIPAA requirements that they say to prepare for a cyber attack, you should do things like understand what your network looks like, create a map of your networks, a list of your devices, and the users on the network. Well, guess what you do when you're doing a HIPAA risk analysis? I create a map of my networks, make a list of my software and hardware, and I keep a list of what users are and how they're allocated and allowed to access things. Duh.
So step one is doing your risk analysis, which should coincide with tip number one.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And number two, back up your data routinely and store it offsite. Now, I'll just step out of the way so you can get your soapbox and put it in place.
Hold on. Let me get it. Look at him.
We're time for David's rant.
First off, let me quickly educate people that just having a backup is not a quote-unquote proper backup solution. Think of it this way. A lot of people use what I call file syncing for backup. So think of Google Drive or Microsoft OneDrive or Dropbox. They use those for backups. Now, those aren't really doing backups. They're doing file syncing. So let's say you have your data sitting on your computer. It's syncing to, we'll just say Dropbox, syncing to Dropbox. Some people love the fact that these things sync immediately because when you make changes to your data, it immediately syncs to your account. So you have an immediate quote-unquote backup. Okay, so now somebody comes in, one of these bad actors, Keanu Reeves comes in, and he encrypts your data. He changes the file structure so now it's locked and you can't get in it. Well, guess what? Your computer is going to immediately send that over to your Dropbox account, and now your files in your Dropbox account are also now locked and encrypted.
Yeah.
So that's not a backup. That's a file syncing program. Your backup needs, and we can spend an entire episode talking about backups, but your backup needs to have multiple versions where you have multiple days of backups so that when you discover on Monday that something happened on Friday, then you can go back to Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, or something before all this happened. That's how you can protect your data and have a proper backup system in place. When you're looking at these quote-unquote backup solutions and they're, you know, $10 a month or some mess like that, that's not going to do it in most cases.
Well, and it may really it's likely not HIPAA compliant anyway.
No, it's not. And so, you know, some people buy their own backup solutions, and, you know, I used Carbonite a lot in my references because people know about them more than all the others, and there's tons of them out there that you can choose from. And there's some of them that throw around the whole we're HIPAA compliant thing and all that. But still, unless you are sure that you are using the proper type of backup and have it set up properly, it's best to use somebody that knows what they're doing. And even if you have an IT vendor, you need to know what questions to ask. And so I would definitely make sure that you ask the questions that, you know, that coincide with what I just mentioned. Make sure those backups are having multiple versions. Make sure they're off-site. Make sure that they're being monitored. Make sure it's happening. I've had clients come to me and say, "Oh yeah, we've got a backup. We've been paying for backup service for years." And then I go, "Okay, cool. Let me look and see what you got." It's not there.
They don't know where it is.
The backups doesn't exist. Or I had a client a couple of years ago. It was an accounting firm. They were using, you know, the big Carbonite plan and all that and paying, I don't know, $600-$700 a year for it. It hadn't backed up in 2 years. Something happened to the software and it just didn't back up.
And there's nobody, alerts. Carbonite sends alerts and, you know, but nobody's right, paying attention.
Exactly. Nobody was paying attention. They didn't have an IT company. Nobody was monitoring anything. So for two solid years, they did not have a backup. So anyway, I'm getting off my soapbox.
All right.
Just saying. Just saying.
So there's David's rant of the day.
Take it seriously when you start down the path of backing up your data. It's not as simple as just grabbing some backup solution off the internet or using what your IT vendor says. Oh, yeah, we sell this particular flavor. It's only 10 cents a gig or whatever. I mean, don't go into it with just pricing alone. It needs to fit your needs.
Okay, so understand what your backup is backing up. Understand that it's actually doing it and in a proper HIPAA-compliant manner, and then make sure somebody's checking to see if it works. Guess what?
Yep.
HIPAA says you should do all of that.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about encryption on that part, but yeah, it needs to be encrypted too.
It needs to be encrypted. It needs to be off-site. It needs to have key management, HIPAA-compliant. There's a whole lot of things. But that's all in the HIPAA regulations that you need to test your backup. You need to have an offsite backup. You know, all of these kind of things. Part of HIPAA, tip number one goes to HIPAA. Tip number two goes to HIPAA. Ready for tip number three, or you need to finish your soapbox?
No, I'm off the soapbox. I'm sitting down.
Okay, good. So number three, Know where your most important data is being held. Think about where it should be held and the protocols to gain access to that information. And in HIPAA, in your risk analysis, you are supposed to identify every place that PHI exists and then look at threats that can happen to it and what can you do to prevent that from occurring or to mitigate it.
Mm.
Three. One, risk analysis activity. Two, disaster recovery activity. Three, risk analysis and risk management. So far, everything that's in the generic tips from the FBI cybersecurity is directly related to HIPAA. So, you ready for number four?
Let's dive.
Boom, number four. Develop policies.
No, I've heard that one before.
Oh, my goodness. It says, what policies govern the use of data and networks by employees? HIPAA says, you must define clearly in written policies and procedures what people can access and what they can do with it. And that govern the use of data, that would be, do you know, David?
What governs the use of data?
Yeah. What you can do, uses and disclosures is the entire privacy rule.
Yeah.
So we just talked about that. Train your employees. That's part of what he's saying in number four. Train your employees. You're supposed to have an entire training program for your entire workforce. Not skipping somebody. Not the, I don't have to worry about the intern or the CEO is too busy. Everybody's supposed to be trained.
Or as we say, everybody.
Everybody. So then, and this is still under number four. He adds, define where your logs and data are being held. List applications running on the network, including applications developed in-house. Now, why would that one be so important? We don't talk about that much, but it's a huge deal that people don't do a risk analysis of things that, oh, I just created a little script. How many times do you hear that? Well, that little script just left you wide open. You just don't know it. It opened up something on your desktop that then let somebody get around your anti-malware or antivirus, or it's, you know, something that somebody told you to type in and you had no idea what you were doing. Mm-hmm. So that in-house stuff matters too. And a lot of people build those because they become quite astute in scripting tools or queries.
Or they do the plugins and extensions and all these other things. To give other things access to their systems.
So again, all of that, part of your risk analysis and risk management plan. It's right there in HIPAA. So all of number four, number three, number two, number one, we're knocking it out of the park. It's HIPAA is the seven tips, essentially. Let's see if we keep going there.
All right. Number five.
You need to be aware that bad actors are...
What are you looking for here?
Who you keep calling a bad actor?
Keanu Reeves.
I'm trying to go along with you, and you're just like...
Well, you know, it's easier to follow me than to follow you.
I'm not even going to go there. All right, be aware that bad actors could already be in your system right now and have been there for a long time.
Somebody's already in your breaches.
That's right. Your breach has been going on for the last 18 months and you don't know it yet. So again, back to my reference of watching Mr. Robot, I'm just going to tell you, it's very interesting in there. Make sure your IT departments are aware of updates and are patching vulnerabilities in your systems.
And how are you going to know if they're doing that?
Well, then, that would be regular audits and reports, also part of HIPAA, and log management, also part of HIPAA, and patching security updates, part of HIPAA. So we're five for five, brother.
Let's do it. Number six.
Develop a response plan in the event of an attack. That's the entire breach response rule. There you go. So developing a response plan in what he recommended was have a plan to work with your attorneys, a PR firm, your board of directors, and a team of forensic experts and outside firms available. Not like I'm going to find one because this has happened. It's, holy crap, this is what I need to do. When this happens, I'm prepared. I pull out the plan. I got the phone numbers. I've got the team. I know who's going to be called and who's going to be notified. That is the definition of what you're supposed to do under the HIPAA breach rule.
So we're 6 for 6?
Yes.
And finally, number 7.
Number 7, not so much HIPAA, but it's there because it really could be part of all of your plans. Establish a relationship with your local FBI office today before there's a cyber attack. That part, I, you know, people like me and you who tend to be a little rebellious.
I don't really want to talk to the FBI.
And you used to be a police officer. You should be better at that than me.
That's the reason why I don't want to talk to them. What's the statute of limitations again?
Oh, yeah. You're a piece of work. So in HIPAA, you know, that wouldn't be bad because it's part of the cybersecurity stuff that you should be doing. But you could take it a step further. You really need to know who is your local OCR. What's your local regional OCR office? What's the one nearest you that's going to cover this? Because that phone number is going to be key. You can call them and ask them questions about what is really, you know, happening to you. You can say, look, this is what the scenario is. I don't know what to do. They will work with you. And in fact, it's going to help you in the long run if they're involved and they know what's going on, if it's a big one for sure. Because you know you're going to hear from them. Go ahead and make it friendly. Bring them in from the beginning. I want to do this right. I have a breach response plan, but I never figured this part out. Don't call them up and say, I know I'm supposed to do HIPAA. However, oops.
You remember when I said it would never happen to me? Well.
I know. Never say never. That's crazy. Think the people, the dentist, or the episode with the breeches with the paper flying out of the truck. I mean, come on. It'll be on my list of things to consider now, but
maybe we should do an episode on the it won't happen to me syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the it won't happen to me and the all you got to do is.
There we go. We got it. We got 2 episodes right there.
So there we have it. Well, we have tied everything that the FBI suggested that you do to prepare you for a cyber attack, not to prevent one, not in case you should be prepared for one. All of those tips, exactly what's in the HIPAA security rule that no one wants to do.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that people outside of healthcare and that are not connected to HIPAA, they're starting to look for people who understand HIPAA because they're getting a higher level of security and privacy implementation in their business.
Well, yeah. I mean, because we understand this stuff, people do ask us because other companies need to start doing these things. So those that say, healthcare, medical's being persecuted. No, your data is more valuable than almost all the other data out there. And you should be doing the exact same things that people are now starting to understand they need to do in their business. So, you know, those who say, well, my security's good enough. I'm not going to do the policies. I'm not going to train my employees. I'm not going to, you know, develop the reports and the documentation and an extensive breach response plan. I don't have to do that because I'm good enough at the other stuff. And, you know,
I've heard that before.
I'm still under my craw. You know it is.
Heard that before somewhere.
Actually, verbatim, almost.
Yeah. HIPAA really is just good practice. I mean, you should be doing that anyway in your business. That's the thing I guess that gets me when people fight against it is you shouldn't have a regulation sitting there telling you to do this stuff. You should be doing it anyway.
Well, the regulation should be what's informing your program because so many people don't understand what to do in the first place. So you have the regulation that gives you the guide. And as we talked about before, the new cybersecurity framework, which they're now, after it's been out a year, they're starting to talk about how do we adapt it further? How do we make it more attainable for businesses now that people have been trying to work with it? that is moving into all of our worlds, because just like before, when you used to have to figure out how to do accounting, and a lot of small businesses never got around to that, and then owe the IRS a lot of money, you know, those kind of things, if you never got around to doing those, you pay for it. Well, now cybersecurity is another part of it. That or stop using computers.
Maybe I'll just see just how long this whole internet thing is just going to even stick around.
I don't know. It's a fad. It's a fad.
Yeah. And like, you know, HIPAA, it'll go away for long.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting to see.
The internet's not going to be. It's just a fad.
That's it won't be around. Yeah. Somebody said that to you, didn't they? I'm going to wait and see if this HIPAA thing really sticks.
Yeah, they did. 10 years later.
10 years into it. How long is that going to take?
Yeah. So interesting things we hear.
Yes, indeed. So
that's that's our show for today. We've just gave you 7 reasons why you should start getting into HIPAA in 2016 and get your security risk analysis done. And call the FBI, see if they'll help you out.
Yeah, go over and hang out. Have a cup of coffee.
There you go. Have them listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, listen to the podcast. You can do that on iTunes. You can do it on Stitcher. You can do it from our website. We ask that you also leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us to know that you love us to death and just can't bear to see us go anywhere. So share us out on your favorite social media channels. And you can also go to our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. And if you have a question or comment and you want to leave right there on the homepage, you can do that. And we might even feature your question on a future podcast. So remember, as always, HIPAA is not about compliance. It is about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.